Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 3, text number. I'm just waiting for my computer to put out 24?
25.
Okay. Naste loke dviparada vasane.
Naste loke dviparada vasane.
Mahabhuteshwari bhutam gateshu.
Mahabhuteshwari bhutam gateshu.
Vyakte vyaktam kala vegena yate.
Vyakte vyaktam kala vegena yate.
Bhavan ekakshisyate shesha sangyaha.
Bhavan ekakshisyate shesha sangyaha.
Nashte loke dviparada vasane.
Nashte loke dviparada vasane.
Mahabhuteshwari bhutam gateshu.
Mahabhuteshwari bhutam gateshu.
Vyakte vyaktam kala vegena yate.
Vyakte vyaktam kala vegena yate.
Bhavan ekak shishyate shesha sangyaha.
Bhavan ekak shishyate shesha sangyaha.
Naste.
Naste.
After the annihilation.
After the annihilation.
Loke. Of the cosmic manifestation.
Of the cosmic manifestation.
Dviparada avasane.
Dviparada avasane.
After millions and millions of years.
After millions and millions of years.
The life of Brahma.
The life of Brahma.
Mahabhuteshu.
Mahabhuteshu.
When the five primary elements.
When the five primary elements.
Earth, water, fire, air, and ether.
Earth, water, fire, air, and ether.
Adibhutam gateshu.
Adibhutam gateshu.
Enter within the subtle elements of sense perception.
Enter within the subtle elements of sense perception.
Vyakte.
Vyakte.
When everything manifested.
When everything manifested.
Avyaktam.
Avyaktam.
Into the unmanifested.
Into the unmanifested.
Kala vegena.
Kala vegena.
By the force of time.
By the force of time.
Yate.
Yate.
Enters.
Enters.
Bhavan.
Bhavan.
Your lordship.
Your lordship.
Ekaha.
Ekaha.
Only one.
Only one.
Shishyate.
Shishyate.
Remains.
Remains.
Asheshaha Samgyaha.
Asheshaha Samgyaha.
The same one with different names.
The same one with different names.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. After millions of years, at the time of cosmic annihilation, when everything manifested and unmanifested is annihilated by the force of time, the five gross elements enter into the subtle conception, and the manifested categories enter into the unmanifested substance. At that time, you alone remain, and you are known as Ananta Shesha Nag. But, at the time of annihilation, the five gross elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, enter into the mind, intelligence, and false ego, ahankara. And the entire cosmic manifestation enters into the spiritual energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who alone remains as the origin of everything. The Lord is therefore known as Shesha Naga, as Adi Purusha, and by many other names. Devaki therefore prayed, in quotes, after many millions of years, when Lord Brahma comes to the end of his life, the annihilation of the cosmic manifestation takes place. At that time, the five elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether, enter into the Mahatattva. The Mahatattva again enters, by the force of time, into the non-manifested total material energy. The total material energy enters into the energetic pradhan, and the pradhana enters into you. Therefore, after the annihilation of the whole cosmic manifestation, you alone remain with your transcendental name, form, quality, and paraphernalia. My Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, because you are the director of the unmanifested total energy and the ultimate reservoir of the material nature. My Lord, the whole cosmic manifestation is under the influence of time, beginning from the moment up to the duration of the year. All act under your direction. You are the original director of everything and the reservoir of all potent energies. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unnitamina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. So here in this verse today, we're getting a wonderful definition of the Lord's name, Shesha. Actually, the commentaries break this in two ways. Either it can be a Shesha Samgyaha or Shesha Samgyaha. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur prefers Shesha Samgyaha, because it comes after Sisyate, it comes after A, E. So therefore it could be either one. So, but it makes sense as an explanation of Shesha, because we're hearing in this verse how when everything's destroyed at the end of Lord Brahma's lifetime, then all the Mahabhutas, the five gross elements, they enter into the Adibhuta, which is explained as the Ahankara by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And the Adibhuta enters into the Vyakta, which is explained as the Mahatattva. And the Mahatattva enters into the Pradhan, which enters into Mahavishnu, of course. So, because at the end of this winding up, the only thing that remains is Him, the Lord, therefore He's called Shesha. Because Shesha means that which remains, or He who remains. So it's very fitting. You know, the verse gives an explanation of why He's Shesha, why He's called Shesha. Because He remains after all this is wound up. It's very amazing that although we've been hearing so much of the amazing before I forget, in the context, Sridhar Swami says that this verse is spoken because in the context this verse is spoken because in the previous verses we heard how Devaki was afraid of Kamsa and afraid that even Krishna may be annihilated because of the previous children being annihilated. But Sridhar Swami introduces this verse saying that, you know, for one who is able to remain even at the end of the Mahapralaya, you know, where is the fear of, you know, where is the fear of annihilation? You know, where is fear at all? You know, he can remain at when everything else is destroyed. You know, he alone remains at the end of the Mahapralaya. So, you know, what's the fear of destruction from Kamsa? Yeah. So this is Krishna's greatness, and this is just describing one of his amsas, Mahavishnu. We are hearing in the Brahma Samhita verse quoted in Jiva Goswami's commentary that when Mahavishnu exhales, all the material universes come out of the pores of his skin, and when he inhales, they again enter into the pores of his skin and become unmanifest, and all the jivas stay in an unmanifest condition at that time. So this was just, you know, a portion of the portion of the portion of Krishna that was being described in that way. So this is the greatness of Krishna. But even though he has all these opulences, there is something very amazing that, like we heard yesterday, he doesn't have any other purpose other than to enjoy amazing pastimes. He has no other purpose. He's not distracted by these duties. He's an expert in delegation. You know, he's the expert manager. He can manage in such a way that he can just, you know, keep his feet up on the table and just relax. You know. So he doesn't have to do these things or even think about these things himself. He keeps himself totally unaware of these things. And in that context, I'd like to read something very interesting from the Padma Purana. It's from one section of the Padma Purana called the Sanat Kumara Samhita, a conversation between Lord Sadashiva and Narada Muni. Brings up some very interesting points. I believe it's, I can't remember if it's in the Uttara Khanda or the Patala Khanda, but it's in one of the Vaishnava Khandas. So, this Sanat Kumara Samhita, it's 5 chapters of the Padma Purana, and it's, among other things, it describes in detail Pancha Samskara, you know, the five different things of Tapa, Nama, Yajna, Yaga, and all those things. How to accept initiation, why we use the word Dasa. It's got many amazing things for devotees there. It explains about taking initiation only once and so on. But anyway, after it explains that, we'll read a portion that's relevant to today's discussion. So this is Lord Sadashiva speaking to Narada Muni here. He says, "In the past, he who tries to conquer me should surrender with all his heart to my beloved. In this way, one becomes dear to me. I have spoken to you a very great secret, O Shiva. Please conceal it with great care. You should take shelter of my beloved Radha, chant my 2 mantras, and always stay in my abode." Lord Sadashiva said, after speaking these words, Lord Krishna, who is an ocean of mercy, spoke the 2 mantras in my right ear, then he taught me the various samskaras. O wise Brahmana, then the Lord and his company suddenly disappeared. Since then, I have always stayed in this place. Gopishradhita. So this is an amazing passage full of many wonderful pramanas, actually. It's very, it's a very confidential truth found in the Padma Purana. It's surprising. So, specifically this section is why I wanted to read this, that Krishna is directly telling Lord Shiva that the demigods, filled with the modes of material nature, create, maintain, and destroy the material universe. I do not myself do these things. No. I am fully absorbed here. What is he exactly? He says, I am overcome with love for the gopis. I do not know anything else. I do not even know my own self. So Krishna, he is so expert that he's just delegating all this work, and he's practically totally unaware that it's going on. He's not, although one aspect of him is always aware of that, and he can access that knowledge at any time, but why should he bother being aware of what happens in this prison house? Why should he burden himself with such awareness? He is only intent upon the happiness derived from rasamayi pastimes. He's only intent on that. He's only intent on relationships with his beloved devotees, the gopis, the gopas, Mother Yasoda, Nanda Maharaj. He doesn't care for anything else. But at the same time, he arranges for all the living entities through various agencies. So he does care for us at the same time. So it's, Krishna is most amazing. How can any other avatar compare even with Krishna? This is supreme greatness. So today is also the disappearance of Srila Vakreshwara Pandit. Is it true? We said that this morning. Yeah. So maybe we can speak something quickly about him. Vakreshwara Pandit is a eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya, and he is he's famous for many things, especially for his dancing. One time it said that he danced for 72 hours straight in a kirtan, and he danced tirelessly. Another time he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 10,000 Gandhava singers to sing for him so he could dance. Yeah. He had, that was his particular inspirational service to the Lord. So in the Gauranganadesh Deepika of Kavi Kanapur, it is explained that Vakreshwara Pandit is the combined appearance of the gopi called Shashi Rekha and of Aniruddha amongst the Chaturvyuha, the Lord's fourfold expansion. So he's the combined appearance of Aniruddha and Shashi Rekha. So we don't have too many pastimes of Vakreshwara Pandit mentioned. There are mainly two things. There's a narration of the greatness of Vakreshwara Pandit in connection with the deliverance of Devananda Pandit. So we have to give some background information before we can show how it relates to Vakreshwara Pandit. There was one great scholar of the Bhagavatam, externally a great scholar of the Bhagavatam. He knew the Bhagavatam and he was famous for that. And he had many students studying under him, and many people would come and hear from him. So this is before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's manifesting the Sankirtan movement. So one day, Srivas Thakur also went to see Devananda Pandit with a great desire to hear the Bhagavatam for him. So he went and he sat in on Devananda Pandit's class, and at a certain point during the narrations of Krishna's pastimes, then Srivas Thakur just became overwhelmed and started crying loudly, and he just became overwhelmed in ecstasy. And all the students in the class, they turned and they were looking at him and they were thinking that this is a great disturbance. And they were saying that, "Oh brothers, how can we peacefully study the Bhagavatam when there is, you know, such a commotion like this? You know, this person is trash. We must immediately throw him out." this is what they said. And so they actually dragged Srivas Thakur out of the class and threw him onto the street. And Devananda Pandit didn't stop them. It said that as the students were ignorant, so was their teacher, Devananda Pandit. So, for this offense, he later twice incurred the anger of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One time, okay, maybe I'll read, but Mahaprabhu said it'll have more direct effect. One time he chastised him so he could, you know, so that Devananda Pandit would be able to hear it, and another time he just went up to him directly and chastised him in his face. But later on, Devananda Pandit was delivered. So, but let's first hear these interesting chastisements. One surrounded in the four directions by his devotee associates, Lord Chaitanya. This is from Chaitanya Bhagavat, by the way. Lord Chaitanya walked in the town. Lord Chaitanya walked to the home of Visharada Maheshwara, who was Sarvabhauma's father. At that place was also the home of Devananda Pandit, a very peaceful Brahmana who yearned after impersonal liberation. He was learned and austere. From birth, he was disinterested in material things. He was a great student of Srimad Bhagavatam, but he was not a devotee. The people said, "He is a great teacher of Srimad Bhagavatam." Still, because he was not a devotee, he did not understand the true meaning at the heart of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because of some offense, he was not qualified to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Krishna knows the reason. By divine arrangement, as they walked on the path, Lord Chaitanya and his associates overheard Devananda lecturing on the Srimad Bhagavatam. As he listened, Lord Chaitanya, who is the super soul in the hearts of all beings and who knows everything, did not hear any description of the greatness of devotional service. Lord Chaitanya angrily said, "What is the meaning of this rascal's words? In this birth, he does not know anything of the true meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. How can this rascal be qualified to talk about Srimad Bhagavatam?" Srimad Bhagavatam. Grabbing him, the devotees stopped him. All the scriptures affirm that Srimad Bhagavatam is not easily understood. Material scholarship, austerity, and fame do not help one understand it. Persons who proudly proclaim, "I know Srimad Bhagavatam," never know Srimad Bhagavatam's true meaning. Persons who know that Srimad is the inconceivable Supreme Personality of Godhead himself know that devotional service is the true meaning of the Bhagavatam. Yamaraj punishes all proud scholars bewildered about the true meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. So then, later on, Lord Chaitanya chastised Devananda again in a more forceful way to his face. Lord Chaitanya said, this is on another occasion, he said, "Aye, Devananda, I'm talking to you. You lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam, but Srivas, whom even Goddess Ganga desires to see, but when Srivas, whom even Goddess Ganga desires to see, went to your house to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from you, your students grabbed him and dragged him outside. What offense did he commit? Is it right to drag and throw away a person who, when he hears Srimad Bhagavatam, weeps with love for Lord Krishna? I understand that you lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam, but in this birth, you do not know the true meaning of that book. When a person eats and becomes full, he is happy with the outside world. You lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam, which is full of ecstatic love for Lord Krishna, but you yourself cannot feel the happiness of that love. This I tell you." Hearing these words, the Brahmana Devananda became embarrassed. He did not reply. After speaking these words, Lord Chaitanya angrily walked away. Devananda unhappily walked to his home. Although the Lord punished him with words, Devananda was very pious and fortunate. Persons punished by Lord Chaitanya become great saints. Indeed, persons killed by the Lord go to Vaikuntha. A person who accepts the punishment given by Lord Chaitanya and places that punishment on his head becomes qualified to attain ecstatic love for Lord Krishna. So in this way, Devananda Pandit was chastised by Mahaprabhu. But then when Mahaprabhu later went to Puri, Devananda Pandit started lamenting that, "I am such a fool, I could not take the association of such a great soul who is really the personification of devotional service, who really knows the Srimad Bhagavatam." So he is lamenting. So one day, in the town of Kuliagram, in the village of Kuliagram, Vakreshwara Pandit came there and he started a uproarious kirtan, a very loud and powerful kirtan which attracted all the people of the town to join in. So everybody joined in, and Devananda Pandit was also there in the town at the time. And he saw Vakreshwara Pandit dancing and chanting, and he became enchanted by the whole scene. That, wow, such an amazing, saint. And he had heard that this is one of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers. And so, he stayed there and he relished the kirtan and he took part in the kirtan. And then, as more and more of the townspeople came, and as the crowd burgeoned or became very big and somewhat dangerous to Vakreshwara Pandit because they all wanted to get very close to him. So at that time, Devananda Pandit took a cane and was warding off people in the crowd. He was, acting like a chokidar. So Vakreshwara Pandit would have enough room to dance and so that people wouldn't crush him. So performing this service, his devotional service began. And then when Vakreshwara Pandit later fainted in that kirtan, then Devananda Pandit took him on his lap and with his own upper cloth wiped the dust from his face and brought him back to consciousness very lovingly. So Lord Chaitanya said, by this devotional service, Devananda has conquered me. Actually, he specifically said something about Vakreshwara Pandit. Yes, this is what he said. Yeah, when Mahaprabhu, yes, this is what Mahaprabhu told Devananda Pandit. Because you have served my dear devotee Vakreshwara, I am now pleased with you. By that service, you have now been able to approach me. Within Vakreshwara's person is Sri Krishna's complete potency. Whoever serves him must receive Krishna's mercy. So, then Mahaprabhu also told him to beg forgiveness of Srivas by catching hold of his feet. But we see how even though offense was committed to Srivas, how just by serving Vakreshwara Pandit, how Devananda Pandit was able to redeem himself. He was able to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and later on, as a matter of course, he also obtained forgiveness by, you know, from Srivas Thakur. But simply by the mercy of Vakreshwara Pandit, even a Vaishnava Apiradi attained Krishna, attained Mahaprabhu. Even before he got the chance to forgive, to get forgiveness from Srivas Thakur. This is Vakreshwara Pandit's power. So, we'll end with one more thing about Vakreshwara Pandit. There's an amazing description given in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Jaiva Dharma about the path of devotional service which was entrusted to Vakreshwara Pandit by Swarup Damodar. Interesting. I'll read it and then we can discuss a few things on it. This is in a conversation in Jaiva Dharma between Vijaya Kumar and Goswami. So Vijaya Kumar says, please describe the tasks that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered the devotees to perform. Goswami replied, the Lord ordered Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami to describe the method of worship according to the rasas. Following that order, Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami wrote his Kadacha, which is divided into two parts. One part describing the internal path, Antapatta, the internal path of worship according to the rasas, and the other part describing the external path, the Bahyapatta, of worship according to the rasas. So there's two kinds of Raganuga Bhakti. There's the external mode of worship and internal mode of worship. So we'll explain that more in a second. The internal path he placed around the neck of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, our Prayojana Guru, who described that path in his writings. The external path Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami gave to Srila Vakreshwara Pandit. That teaching is the great treasure of this temple. This conversation is taking place in the Gambira temple in Puri, because we understand that Vakreshwara Pandit's disciple was Gopal Guru Goswami, the famous devotee who, as a boy, instructed Mahaprabhu that, you know, Mahaprabhu was you know, passing in the field. He was going to the toilet in the field, and he was holding his tongue between his teeth. And the boy, Gopal Guru, asked him, why are you holding your tongue between your teeth? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that it is the habit of this tongue to continually chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, you know, therefore I am holding it because I feel maybe it is not appropriate at this time to chant. But Gopal Guru said, what if you die at this time? What if you die at this time and you are not chanting the holy names to the Lord? You know. So Lord Chaitanya accepted and he said, yes, this is right. The Lord's name should be chanted always. He said, Gopal, you are my guru. So from this day forth, you'll be known as Gopal Guru. So this Gopal Guru, a famous devotee, was a disciple of Vakreshwara Pandit, and he became the manager of the Gambira temple, where the deities of, I think, Radhakanta are there. Radhakanta, yeah. And it was Gopal Guru's disciple, Janachandra Goswami, who wrote the Padati, which is often used in our Sampradaya, called Gaur Govinda Smarana Archana Padati, which is the presentation of the external root of Raghunuga Bhakti. It's like a regimented presentation of Raghunuga Sadhana, rather than a more spontaneous approach. So this is the external path of Raghunuga that was given to Srila Vakreshwara Pandit. I don't have much qualification to speak on this, but to fill in the details of who Vakreshwara Pandit is, then we can hear these things. So that teaching is the great treasure of this temple. That treasure I have given to Srila Dhyanachandra Goswami, and he has written that treasure into a book. So this is actually who's speaking, Goswami here. That is actually Gopal Guru Goswami, who appeared to answer the questions of Vijaya Kumar. So Gopal Guru is saying, I gave this knowledge, which I received from Vakreshwara Pandit, I gave that to my disciple Dhyanachandra Goswami, and he wrote that in the book, Gaur Govinda Smarana Ashana Padati. You already have a copy of that book, he says. Lord Mahaprabhu ordered, now he explains some of the other orders that Lord Chaitanya gave to the different devotees. In this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving us some very wonderful explanation. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Lord Advaita to preach the glories of the holy name, and he also gave them the power to do it. Lord Mahaprabhu gave Srila Rupa Goswami the order to write books about the rasas, and he also gave him the power to do it. Lord Mahaprabhu gave Srila Sanatana Goswami the order to write about Vaidhi Bhakti and the relationship between Vaidhi Bhakti and Raga Bhakti. The Lord also gave Srila Sanatana Goswami the order to write about the Lord's Prakata and Aprakata pastimes in Gokula. Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Srila Sanatana Goswami together gave Srila Jiva Goswami the order to write books about Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, and they also gave him the power to do it. All of these great devotees fulfilled the orders they were given. Vijaya Kumar asks, O Master, what task was given to Srila Ramananda Roy? Goswami replied, Lord Mahaprabhu gave Srila Ramananda Roy the task of expanding the rasas. Srila Ramananda Roy used Srila Rupa Goswami as his instrument in fulfilling this task. Goswami, Vijaya Kumar, O Master, what task was given to Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattaracharya? Goswami replied, to Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattaracharya, he gave the task of explaining philosophy. Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattaracharya executed that task by having one of his disciples teach Srila Jiva Goswami. This is, of course, Madhusudana Sarasvati in Varanasi, who was the teacher of Lord Jiva Goswami. So, although we sometimes hear that he was a Mayavadi, actually, he wasn't a Mayavadi, this particular Madhusudana, the teacher of Jiva Goswami, he was a person who taught Vedanta Sutra in such a way that the sutras explain the glories of Lord Krishna. So he would even teach Mayavadis, you know, in such a way that it was not offensive to Lord Krishna. So what task did the Lord give to the great devotees in Bengal? To the great devotees in Bengal, the Lord gave the task of teaching the truth about Lord Chaitanya and showing the people how to have faith in Lord Chaitanya's description of Krishna Rasa. These devotees fulfilled that order by writing many books glorifying the rasas. Now, what task was given to Srila Raghunath Bhatta Goswami? To him was given the task of preaching the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. He preached the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. He didn't write any books. What task was given to Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami? To Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami was given the task of stopping perverted misinterpretations of pure Sringara Ras and also stopping the tendency not to have faith in Vaidhi Bhakti. Vijaya Kumar, Srila Prabodhananda Sarasvati was the uncle and spiritual master of Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami. What task was given to him? To Srila Prabodhananda Sarasvati was given the task of showing the world that the path of the rasas and anubhavas in Vraja is the highest of all paths. Hearing all this, Vijaya Kumar thought himself very fortunate. So, I'll stop there. If anybody has anything they'd like to add or subtract or any questions. Or
Rakeshwar, I find it has a Pushpa Samadhi and Raya Kundas.
Oh, okay. Which part of Radha Kunda is that? You can hear the song.
Just opposite the Gopal Manipur Mandir.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where the temple of Sri Sri Radhakant is, and right next to there is the Pushpa Samadhi and Murti of the Keshwara.
Have you seen that?
No, I've never.
Oh, I haven't seen either. Mission. Have you seen it?
No.
Hey.
There might be a site here.
If you're hiding there or something. Yeah, right. Yeah, it's a hidden place of nectar. You want to rule?
In the beginning of the class, you mentioned how Lord Krishna entrusted a secret, good secret to Lord Shiva. And then Lord Shiva, he told that secret to Narada.
Yeah.
And now all of us are reading easily.
Yeah.
So how come that, I mean, Krishna interest to someone, and then what, those devotees don't like to follow the Krishna's request not to, to keep it secretly, or
Yeah, that's interesting. I was wondering the same thing. I guess at a certain time, this information may be given when it's appropriate. Yes, do.
I have an idea. Even when it's there, the Paramparama, Yogamaya covers over the intelligence of many people so they don't accept that as Pramana. I've seen the website from some pundit, young pundit in the Lava Sampradaya, claim that Srimati Radharani is not, she's a bogus deity, she's not mentioned in any Purana. You know, that means he doesn't accept the Uttarakhanda, the Kama Purana. And that's right there, describing her glory. You know, they think they just ignore it. It's not, this is some spurious interpolation, it's not the real Purana. It's right there, but you know, for those who don't want to believe it, just deny that it's even authentic.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Sometimes the secrets are there in the Vedas, just like in Namadvip Dhammahamya by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It mentions that although there are many proofs scattered throughout the Vedas hinting at Lord Chaitanya's appearance, even activities, by the influence of Yogamaya, even though scholars would read them, they wouldn't understand what was intended. They wouldn't. So secrets, even though it may be said in the prana, unless you're a worthy recipient, you won't get the full benefit of reading that secret.
Also, Rakeshwar Pandit is considered to be Sakti Tunga Vidya.
Yes, that's according to his disciple, isn't it? That's not according to Gauraganadesh Tripika, because usually Tunga Vidya Sakhi is normally identified as Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. And that's more or less universally accepted. So this is a sub-opinion subordinate to Gauraganadesh Tripika. I also read that, but I didn't say it because you know, it's less authoritative. Okay. Anything else? Okay, Prantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.